You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. Counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture. One top five at a time. And now, here are the Two Peas. Andy and Gerald.
What's up, guys? Welcome into another episode of Two Peas.
Waza.
Two Peas are here. Two Peas on a Podcast.
Remember that?
I do remember that. I still use that joke.
You were 44 when that was popular.
I still 45. Use it, you know, 20 years later.
Waza.
Gerald is here.
Andy is across from Gerald at the table in La Casa.
And, of course, it is Two Peas on a Podcast. This is episode 85.
I wonder if people think I know Spanish because I say La Casa. Like, I know house. That's
you know,
all I know.
You know two words.
Yeah. And la, which means the.
You know. You've said see before to me.
See.
And I guess technically you know no as well.
No. It's no.
Today we're counting out our top five Spanish films that we could not understand any of the dialogue to.
Numero dos.
So look, it's episode 85, brother. You excited?
I pumped
85 episodes.
I am so excited.
With Andy and Gerald, the Two Peas. And then, like I said, last time you and I were on together, we've done about 44 or 45 bonuses as well. I can't do the math on that, but it's like 150 episodes.
That's a lot of, you know. You're a busy guy.
Is that accurate? I feel accurate. Like, is that right? 85 plus 45, what is that?
85 plus 45 is our what? 140. 120 something.
Oh, well, I'm way off then.
85 plus 40 is 125, plus 5 is 130.
So it's 130. So we've done 130. Thanks for our brainstorm session there. So we've done roughly 130 episodes.
Yeah.
This one's episode 85. And what are we counting down today, buddy?
Today, interesting topic, friend. We are counting down the top five animated non-Disney films.
Correct.
So they're animated films, but they're not Disney, which is interesting because,
correct,
like, I think if we did the top five animated films, you and I, our list would probably be mostly Disney.
It would be.
Let's face it.
And I actually thought about that, and I put a little note here on my notes. It's interesting because if we had done just animated films,
yes,
then it would have been 4 out of 5 would have been Disney for me.
I don't know. Honestly,
and or Disney,
Pixar. The more I thought about it, I think 2 out of 5 would have been Disney.
Oh, that's interesting.
When I started thinking about non-Disney animated, I came across some movies like, oh.
So that's good. You were supposed to come on episode 82.
But I didn't.
With me, and you had something come up with work or something to that effect. I can't remember, like, that morning. And Lauren, that we used to work with, who lives at Walt Disney World.
Hey, Walt Disney, Lauren.
You remember Lauren?
Hey, Lauren!
Lauren Scott, yeah.
I do remember Lauren.
So she
Lauren.
Lives
How
at Disney World. She slid in and did that list with me. So let me tell you real quick what my 5 Disney animateds were.
Oh, so you've done this. Okay.
Well, Disney. I didn't do non-Disney. Disney was Inside Out, Aladdin, WALL-E, The Lion King, and Toy Story. Those were my 5 Disney.
Toy Story 1?
Yes, the first one. Now, if we were doing that list right now, the only one that would probably be recycled out of that would be Inside Out, and I would be putting in one that I'm going to be talking about shortly. So, Disney, I mean, they own this, right? I mean, they own the freaking world now, dude. They got Marvel, your boys over at Star Wars.
Ah, they own Star Wars.
Lucasfilm. I mean, they're taking it. What do you think about that? I mean, are you okay with Disney kind of? I mean, because I saw a thing on one of the articles I follow on social media that Disney has like the top 4 movies in the theater right now.
Yes.
Like, they own the top
it's not. I don't think it's about being okay or not okay with it. I think it's inevitable. I mean, in the culture we live in, that's what happens. Companies who are good at their job get bigger and bigger and acquire other companies, and they get better and better at their job. It's how empires work.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how it works. It's not good or bad. It's just what is.
Yeah.
And Disney, as long as they're doing a good job, they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
And they're making money. They're making money.
Yeah. But here's the thing is they're not only making money, they're making good movies.
They are.
You know what I mean?
The remakes are shit, in my opinion.
What now? What do you mean? Oh, did you see Lion King? What'd you think?
I
don't want to see it. Like you know, they've done all the live actions. I saw Jungle Book, which I thought was kind of cool.
That was okay.
But I haven't seen any of the
Aladdin. I saw all of them.
There's a bunch of other ones.
I've seen all of them.
So you didn't
so
like, because Lion King, I don't
want
to see it because the original was perfect. I don't want to mess with that. Elton John. And
that's the problem.
Haley Joe Osment. Not Haley Joe Osment. What's the guy's name?
Wow, he was in it?
The kid.
I see dead lions. That's a different movie. No, I had a rant on a few episodes ago about the Disney remakes. I don't know. I'm kind of over it. My son enjoys them, so I'm kind of torn.
Well, because this
I
is like, his generation.
Right. I like sharing them with him, you know, with my kids. And when my other son gets a little bit older, you know, I mean, I like sharing them with my kids, so I'm kind of torn in that way. But when my nostalgia and my childhood gets factored into it, I don't like it because they're just not anywhere close to as good as the originals.
So why, I know we have to get moving, but why didn't you like The Lion King? Like, was there anything specific? Like, okay, the stories didn't mash up. It wasn't real.
No, I'll keep it brief. Enough? The reason I didn't like it is because it was literally, and I'm not even joking, the exact same film as the animated version with different, it was just a different type of animation. It was the exact same scene for scene. The dialogue was the same. The only thing that was different in the new one was there were some added like one-liners by Timon and Pumbaa, which were my favorite piece of the new one.
Was it the voice?
But literally Timon it was the Pumbaa same shit.
Voice the same?
No, it was all new actors. Okay. And they did, it was Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner. They did a great job.
Okay.
But it was all new actors. The only one that came back was James Earl Jones
as
Mufasa.
Of course.
And I'm not even kidding, dude. They could have used his audio from 92. Like, I was just saying. He said the same
shit. So you're
shit.
Thinking, like, if you're going to remake it, like, you know, update the story a little. You've told that story.
I prefer a reimagining.
Ah, a reimagining.
This was, and I'm not even kidding, this would be described as a shot-by-shot remake. It was exactly the same with a different type of animation, with the digital
just seems
animation.
Kind of pointless, doesn't it?
As opposed to a
hand-drawn. You've told that story.
I mean, like we said, all right, they did it to make money. Yeah. I mean, they got Beyonce in there. You know, that's going to draw people in. People are going to buy the soundtrack because she's on it. So they're making money. They're smart. They know what they're doing. I mean, it's the number one movie in the country for a reason. But as somebody who grew up with the original, I'm just like, I wasn't as entertained.
Now, for the new generation, does this reintroduce them to the original story?
My son, my
gives
son
them
loved it.
Access because a lot of these kids aren't going to watch the original.
And that's where I'm torn. Okay. That's the argument, and that's where I'm torn. Yeah. You know, afterwards, I asked my son, I said, hey, you know, do you want to watch the original? Because we have it on Blu-ray. And we watched it. We put it on the next day after we saw the remake.
Yeah.
And he had seen it before, but he was young, you know? And as he's watching it, he found himself comparing it to the remake that we had seen.
Because that, for him, that's The Lion King.
Right. Yeah. And he kind of, in a way, he didn't like come out and say it, but in a way, I could kind of tell he kind of preferred that one.
Okay.
It's the same movie. It's just, why do it? Why make it? It's the same shit. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you saw the trailer for the new Mulan that's going to be coming out next year, which is a remake. But that looks complete. That looks like The Last Samurai, bro. I mean, that looks like completely different. Yeah.
And I love them. I love Asian culture and especially Chinese and Japanese culture in general.
Like, let's do a reimagining, you know?
Dude, it's really, really cool.
Take the base story and do a reimagining.
But it's also, I mean, you know, you get used to the effects. Like, you take someone, honestly, you take someone nowadays and all this hype about Star Wars. Like, my nephew, really into the Clone Wars, really into Rebels. Mm-hmm. Hasn't really watched the new movies. But if I went back and showed him A New Hope, he'd be like, what is this?
Yeah.
Because it's slow. It's methodic. It's got a different vibe to it. It's like my father likes old westerns.
And that happens. You know?
It's the same thing. It has a different vibe to it.
That happens for me too. But I'm just able to transform myself back to when I was 10 or 15 years old and what I felt when I saw it.
When the talkies first came out?
Right. When movies first arrived in the United States. Okay, you want to do it?
I get distracted by all the noise, all the talking. Why is there audio?
Why are they
this having... This is not a movie. It's a talkie.
Dialogue. Where's Charlie Chaplin? Okay. Is that in this? All right. So top five non-Disney animated feature films is what we're going to count down today. Andy, you ready?
I'm stoked, bro. I'm stoked.
Five. Four. Three. Two. One.
And here we go.
All right, let's fire it up. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first this time.
Do this one you want to do first?
I think we go back and forth.
We
do. We have a give and take relationship.
We bounce off each other.
So I think I can go first. That's cool.
I appreciate you going first. So go first.
My number five animated non-Disney film. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's called Song of the Sea. Now, it's this animated film. It's a kind of an Irish folklore film. I stumbled upon it on Netflix. I had seen kind of the poster for it. I'd seen kind of it has this beautiful image on the front of these characters on an island in the sea. And I was like, you know, this kind of looks cool. So I made them watch it with me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about this small little Irish family. They live on like at this lighthouse in the middle of the sea. And the mom and the daughter are what's called Selkies. Uh-huh. So they're these mystical kind of half human. They turn into seals when they go into the water. Mm-hmm. It's like this mystical story. The mom dies. The brother kind of blames the little sister for the mom dying. The little sister doesn't talk. We find out later on that she's also this mystical kind of creature. And they have to go on this, like, this adventure because this one dark being is taking all the souls of these like fairies and mystical creatures. So it's this great Irish, it has this kind of Irish accent and folklore to it. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of, it's everything I like about movies. It's mystical. It has those kind of mythological elements to it. It's got great kind of Irish Celtic music in it. Mm-hmm. I just love it. It's called Song of the Sea. And I fell in love with it when I watched it.
Whoa.
I want to say, I got it right here. I want to say who makes it. It's from Cartoon Saloon.
Interesting.
It was an international Ireland, Belgium, Denmark, France, Luxembourg.
So it wasn't released in the U.S. like in theaters.
I don't think so.
Wow, that's I never heard. I think I saw. So you know, I'm a movie guy and I have kids, so I watch kids' movies all. I never heard of this.
There's the picture if you can see that.
Song of the Sea.
Song of the Sea.
Wow.
I almost it's on wanted. Netflix? I almost wanted to put it higher in my list because I just fell in love with it.
I got. It's so on good. Netflix.
It's on. It was.
Okay, I got to check and see.
I watched it on Netflix.
Add it up to the queue there, man.
Yeah, man.
All right, so your number five, Song of the Sea.
Song of the Sea.
Interesting. All right,
love it. It was so good.
So my number five, two of mine are what would be considered like digital animation. And okay. This is one of them. So my number five is a movie that my son fell in love with at a very young age. You know, he does this thing where we'll get a DVD or a Blu-ray and it'll be the only movie he watches for a month straight. When this came out on Blu-ray and we bought it, he was, I want to say, two.
Mm-hmm.
And we, he just wouldn't stop watching it, and it was endearing. And I got to the point where I, like, really enjoyed it. The voice actors in it are awesome. It's a movie called Turbo from 2013.
Turbo!
Have you heard of Turbo?
Yes! So, Snoop Dogg's in Turbo.
Snoop Dogg is in it.
It's about a snail.
It absolutely
is.
He
wants to be a racer.
Exactly. Yeah. It is a... it's exactly what it is, man. It's so Ryan Reynolds voices Turbo.
Ryan Reynolds is great.
Which
Amber,
I love.
Everything
he's
does.
He's hilarious. He has such great delivery and comedic timing, mm-hmm. even for a kid's flick. But yeah. Anyway, he's this little garden snail. You know, and he,
a garden
him
snail.
And him and the rest of the snails run the garden in this house, the yard they live in or whatever. And each of them have their own job that they have to do and, yeah. you know, whatever. And they're trying to dodge everyday life, like getting run over by lawnmowers and raindrops and like whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And anyway, he kind of leaves the nest there and ends up getting caught in turbo injector in a car or yeah. whatever. And he gets that nitrous stuff in his like body, I guess.
Yes,
he can go up to like 200 miles an hour because of it, and he discovers his quote unquote superpower. So he has this dream of racing in the Indy 500.
And the
movie plays out to where he ends up doing that. He ends up competing in the Indy 500.
As a snail.
The promoters let him and stuff, and everybody, of course, is a big fan of him. And
I like his rival, the guy who plays his rival when he gets to the Indy 500.
Yeah,
he was his
Italian
hero,
dude or something like that.
The Italian guy, I'm going to crush you.
I think that Samuel L. Jackson's in there.
Oh, man.
Maya Rudolph. It's just Bill
Hader.
Well,
first he gets discovered at this little taco stand where he meets these other snails who are into racing. This guy at the taco stand, his brother makes the tacos. He makes the tacos as well. But he also has this little thing where he races snails.
I love it, man.
He happens to stumble upon this guy who races snails.
So it's from 2013. Yeah. One of the first Blu-rays I really bought for my son, to be honest.
Turbo.
And he just loved it, man. Dude. He watched it for like a year.
Wicked.
And it got to a point where, and he hadn't put it on for a couple of years. I'm going to tell him I put it on my list and maybe we'll rewatch it. But yeah. It came out in 2013. The IMDb summary says, a freak accident might just help an everyday garden snail achieve his biggest dream, winning the Indy 500.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Whoa, that snail is fast. What? Are you seeing this?
You see the snail moving fast. You slow, you don't get past. You see him gaining position, but first he won't be last. He's ready to make a dash. Snail quicker than a lightning flash. His engine's roaring, he's flooring. He won't run out of gas. The snail is fast.
Whoa, that snail is fast.
I'll have a snail in the Indy 500.
Whoa!
It's a miracle of nature.
What?
Will the snail be crushed by the giant race cars?
That snail is fast.
That's wonderful.
So obviously a crazy kind
in my
of story,
life,
but
I
it's
know,
overcoming the odds,
I'm
right?
I'm going to give you my final thought now. In my life, I often feel like a snail who's trying to win the Indy 500.
I feel like
I'm this guy
too,
who's trying to do something that's impossible.
I feel like a snail too, but you know, not so much winning the Indy 500, just because I'm
getting out of
kind
bed.
Of slow and old.
Getting
you know?
From the bed to the kitchen.
Walking to the mailbox.
I had this dream of getting out of the bed and making it to the kitchen without fainting.
I have a dream of getting nitrous in my body and being able to check the mail without getting a hernia. It doesn't always happen that way.
Wonderful.
All right, so Turbo is my number five.
Ooh,
you ready, man? What's your number four?
Now, number four is going to be, the one on my list that everybody knows of. Not only, once again, I love Asian culture. I love kind of this type of movie. The guy who plays the lead character, Jack Black. I love everything Jack Black does. He's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Also, the Furious Five are played by like Angelina Jolie. I want to say, who's the Jackie Chan's in there? It's
okay.
Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, the original, right?
Now, the original. I've never seen two and three.
Two's pretty good.
Yeah,
three was in
Kung
there.
Fu Panda. I love every. I feel like each time I watch it, I like it more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it starts off with this panda. He's a panda. Mm-hmm. He's a panda. He's a big fat panda.
Right, right.
And he works with his quote dad, who's a little
bird. Koala bear or something,
like
right?
A little bird. Oh,
is he a bird? I thought he was like a little bear or something.
And he makes noodles.
Okay,
that's what he does. He makes noodles, but he has a dream of learning kung fu. But he's fat and lazy. Well, not lazy, but he's Jack
he's
Black.
Not in shape.
It's Jack Black as a panda.
Yeah, right, he's not in shape.
So it turns out that he lands like okay, the great mystical turtle, mm-hmm. the great kung fu master, is going to pick the next dragon warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So of course the kung fu master closes his eyes and moves his finger around, and the panda lands right in front of him by mistake. And of course, the Kung Fu Master points at the panda, mm-hmm. and says, "That is interesting." Because, you know, in his kind of Zen Taoist style, there are no mistakes.
Yeah.
But it's just a great movie. It's got one of my favorite scenes in it where the panda's about to give up, and you know the Zen master stumbles upon him and says, "You know, what's the problem?" He goes, "Well, I don't know what to do. I can't do this kung fu thing." He goes, "You know, you are too concerned with what was and what will be." Mm-hmm. There is a saying: yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, today is a gift. That's why it's called the
present. That sounds like you wrote that.
Yeah, that's why it's called the present.
I mean, I'm not like the five. I've got no claws, no wings, no venom. Even Mantis has those thingies. Maybe I should just quit and go back to making noodles.
Quit, don't quit. Noodles, don't noodles. You are too concerned with what was and what will be. There's a saying: yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That is why it is called the present.
That sounds
I mean, it's just...
Did you write that?
It's one. I didn't write that.
That sounds like
but
Andy
Kung
Ross.
Kung Fu Panda is everything I love. It has great fighting scenes. Has a
yeah.
great villain. A wonderful villain, Tai Lung.
Yeah,
and it's just,
man.
I mean, it's got Jack Black. It's got comedy. It's got fighting. It's got that Zen Taoist kind of style to it. I just love it. It's a great movie.
Ian McShane
great movie.
Voiced Tai Lung, and that's a good villain.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
That is a good villain.
And one of our heroes, not the head Zen master, but the one right below him who trains him, is Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman's in there.
Yes.
Seth Rogen's in there. Lucy
yes.
Liu. I'm looking at the cast list here.
And
a
Dustin
lot of great
Hoffman
people.
And Jack Black, their dynamic or their interplay is perfect.
And Seth Rogen was Mantis,
yes.
the little praying mantis. And he was
yes.
He's a great comic
it's
relief.
Wonderful. It's also
Kung Fu Panda was cool because
it was, cool,
it was like the lore. It was right around the same time when the Kill Bill franchise was coming out, and it was almost like a kind of like a Kill Bill story
yeah.
for kids.
It's like that Kung Fu
without
that
the violence.
Kung Fu style
and,
got really popular,
you know,
yeah. It's DreamWorks. DreamWorks makes a lot of.
Yeah.
I have an honorable mention that's DreamWorks as well. I'm sure. I think you probably have a DreamWorks or two. As far as other than Disney, DreamWorks makes great animated films, so they're probably up on the top of my list.
Well,
as far as the studio.
Well, good pick, man. That's a good flick, and I do like that.
Thank you.
Part two was good too.
Yeah, I didn't see
the
part
sequel
two.
Was good. Part three was a little bit of a piece of shit.
That's when the babies came, right?
Yeah, it took a little bit of a weird turn.
But pandas have babies.
The first two were great. Pandas have babies.
Pandas
I didn't
have
want to.
Also,
that.
Kung Fu Holiday, like Kung Fu Holiday.
Kung Fu Holiday.
That's
yeah, on the
one.
Holiday Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so this one's a no-brainer, man. I put it in the gift that I shared to get feedback online, and ironically, no one mentioned it. So I'm wondering if you did. I wonder if we have crossover. This is my number four.
Okay.
Yeah. I wonder if we have crossover on this, but this movie was just kind of revolutionary because it was the first real, I won't say the first, but definitely the first in this level of popularity that wasn't Disney.
Okay.
And it came along in the early 2000s.
Absolutely.
In 2001, it was Shrek.
Ah, Shrek.
And the original is the one I'm naming, although I do like all the sequels, Justin Timberlake's in one of them.
I don't like Shrek the Third.
That's the one with Justin Timberlake, right?
Yes. The first two I thought were wonderful. Now, Shrek's on an honorable mention for me.
Oh, okay.
It was Shrek or Kung Fu Panda kind of going back and forth for that spot. But Shrek is hilarious.
It is, man. Hilarious. And like I said, it was the first one from like a theatrical box office success that wasn't Disney that reached those hundreds of millions of dollars and
it's
just
got
took over the box office.
That kid and adult humor mixed in together where like half the jokes in there the kids won't get.
And you know, I had read, and not to say that I'm not upset about this because it would have been cool to see, and you can actually listen to some of the auditions on YouTube, but Chris Farley was originally going to be Shrek.
Yeah.
I had read, and then I watched some of his audition tapes on YouTube.
But could you imagine anyone but Mike Myers?
I know, that's what I'm saying, but now Mike Myers do it is just perfect.
Like it's even more than Austin Powers. You think about Mike Myers, you think of Shrek.
Right.
Like that Scottish accent he's so good at.
He really is.
And the awkward hero who just thinks he wants to be left alone. And he does. He wants to be left alone, but he also wants what we want. He wants love.
And
he wants acceptance.
One of Eddie Murphy's best roles, honestly, as the Donkey Man. It's hilarious. Now, he's done some voice casting like as Mushu and Mulan and some other stuff.
Ah, Mushu.
And he's funny, but I mean, the Donkey Man, he nailed it, brother.
Nailed.
I mean, it was literally like an Eddie Murphy stand-up act. I mean, he was just like singing and imitating and just...
But it was a talking donkey.
Right.
And the cool thing is, no one's better at talking constantly than Eddie Murphy.
Right, especially in a comedic way. Yeah.
Like at first, you know, the first time you meet the donkey, the old woman's bringing him to the mystical
creature.
The fairy tale mystical creature thing. He's like, I got a talking donkey. And he won't say anything.
Yeah.
And then he gets hit with fairy dust and starts flying away.
Yeah.
He's like, look at me. Yeah. I'm a talking donkey.
fly, talking donkey. I love Shrek 2. There's like a bunch of dad jokes in there.
Oh, so
and good. What's really cool, man, is when your kids, and I don't know if your daughters do this, but it's cool for me as a movie person, or even as music, to be honest, for different songs, when I hear my kids like quoting or singing something that I introduce them to.
Yeah.
And we went, my son's going to be going to kindergarten in like a month.
Ooh-wee.
And a few weeks really, and we can walk to his school. It's like a half mile away.
That's awesome.
Basically through the little trail here. And when you get over there, they have one of those giant like rocks that have you know what I'm talking about, be on in the front of the school that kids like draw on and stuff like welcome, whatever.
Yes, organized graffiti.
You know, basically. And we got over there the other day, and we're walking up, and he goes, "Ooh, look at that boulder! That is a nice boulder." And I'm like,
look at
bro.
That boulder. That is a nice
I'm like,
boulder.
Bro, where'd you get that from? Shrek? And he's like, yeah, I think it was a Shrek. I'm
that
like,
is a
you're
nice
killing
boulder.
It. So that's just.
And number two, know, I think, also emphasized some of the side characters, like a Pinocchio. Pinocchio!
Yeah. It's really cool because it ties in. We're talking about Disney.
We need your nose to grow. Say, tell a lie. Say you're wearing women's underwear. I'm wearing women's underwear.
It doesn't grow.
I'm not.
A lot of adult humor. But
there's
you know,
a lot of fairy tale creatures. Yeah,
that, what I was gonna say is cool because it kind of incorporated some things that we associate with Disney.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't Disney, like the princesses
the Muffin Man,
Pinocchio, and things like that. So anyway, I feel like Shrek's a little bit of a no-brainer. Great. I had to put it on here, man. So it's from 2001 is my number four. What's your number three, man?
My number three. I don't know if you've seen this. You might have.
Oh God, another one I haven't.
It goes
seen.
In a lot of these. You might not have seen. My goodness gracious, it goes in the same vein as Song of the Sea, and it's got all the I like mythology. I like mystery. Elements. I like grand stories that are about gods and goddesses and destiny and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a claymation movie. It's a stop motion. That means the sets were designed and built and, you know, picture move, picture move, picture move.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie called Kubo and the Two Strings.
Oh, yeah, I own it. I love it.
Kubo is wonderful. Now, this studio, I don't know if I know the name of it. I think you
Leica.
Yeah, they've Leica made a series. Couple of them. They made Paranorman, Coraline.
Mm-hmm.
They made a lot of dark movies, but Kubo is very dark. Mm-hmm. And this boy, his mother is the daughter of the moon king or the moon god.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's other daughters as well. And they're like kind of the evil characters. And they're coming after to try to get the boy to steal the boy's other eye because they took his eye at birth. So the boy has to go on a search to find a hero. He finds his dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's helped by this monkey who happens to be one of his moms. So it's got a lot of cool fighting and it's got a lot of cool images in it.
Mm-hmm.
His skill is he can make things with paper.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has a stack of paper with him.
Like
when
origami
plays,
or whatever.
When he plays his guitar, the paper turns into things. Like he builds a boat with paper and he builds all this kind of stuff. So the visuals are unparalleled.
And that's really cool too because it's like beautiful. Factoring in his imagination a little bit too.
Exactly.
Or you get the impression that it is. That's a great movie. I own
that's
it on Blu-ray.
That's a wonderful movie.
Lakia Studios kills it. I'm going to be talking about that studio here in a minute. Not with that movie, but I love that movie.
Yeah.
And my son has actually been making stop motion movies on his iPad.
No way.
Yeah. So he'll get these little Lego figurines and and put like a shoebox or whatever as the backdrop, and he'll literally spend an hour making a 2-minute little stop motion short thing.
What?
I can show you something. He's killing
it. Dude, that's crazy.
And he's really into watching the YouTube videos of how they do those.
Okay.
How they, and you know, we own the majority of the stop motions that have been popularized, yeah, including that one. And he loves them, man. He's just, he's already saying, he's only 5 going on 6, but he's already saying he wants to be an animator because he's just like fascinated by how they do that. I told him, I said, you know, and it teaches patience.
Yeah. Oh.
Because like what you're saying, I mean, it takes 7 Ooh. Years to make an hour and a half movie.
And that's how the original animation was done anyway. You're talking about like one of my favorite shows, South Park. I mean, they would cut out the characters out of construction paper. Take a picture, move it, take a picture, move it, take a picture, move it. And that's how they get a scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how all the original animation was done. Of course, I don't want to say computers make it easier because you're still doing all that on a computer. So it's still just as difficult and time-consuming.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Back in the day, you were drawing Snow White, drawing her again, slightly moving.
I mean, the thing is, and this has been an argument that's been thrown around since digital animation blew up in the late 90s, early 2000s. I'm not saying, because nobody's going to say that's easier. I mean, you have to have a skill for that as well.
Yeah.
The way I see it is that there are different types of mediums all under the animation umbrella.
They're all animation.
But they're all art, brother. I mean, but you know, to your point, stop motion is very similar, or it's almost like a middle of the road between the digital and between hand drawn.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like factoring in both, really, in terms of labor intensiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's crazy, man. Have you ever watched any of the YouTube or the behind the scenes?
No, I haven't.
It's nuts, man. And I'm going to be talking about one movie that has a behind the scenes like featurette on the Blu-ray that I own. And just to see the set design, and I mean, they're literally moving these things like a centimeter, taking a picture.
Yeah.
Moving their eyeball up, taking a picture. I mean,
it's crazy.
The amount of intricate detail and attention to detail and just patience that has to go into
it. And it has a very, what I love about Kubo and these types of movies is, and claymation in general has a special place in my heart, is because it looks so real. It has an element, not of realism, but it has an element of life to it.
Mm-hmm.
These characters, because like it is an actual three-dimensional scene they're building. So when you look at Kubo, I mean, they built all this, and these people are built, so they're like, they have this very real, like you can reach out and touch them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's just, beautiful.
It's really cool. I love the medium, and I'm going to be talking about a couple of them here in a second. Yeah. So that's your number three.
That's my number three.
Kubo and the Two Strings. I want to say that one may still be on Netflix, and I would urge people to watch that. And with your kids, too. I mean, it's a very, it's an adventurous, it's heroic, and it's just beautiful to look at, man.
Oh, it's just wonderful.
It's a great film.
The top three movies I have, any of them could have been number one.
I hear
that. Yeah, that's wonderful.
I hear that. All right, so that's your number three.
That's my number three.
Your number three is from the same studio, Lakeia Studios. It's not that movie, though. It's a movie called Coraline.
Ah, Coraline is wonderful.
From 2009.
Scary.
Now, my number three and my number two that's coming up are very kind of horror.
Yes.
Like, you know, kind of a...
Coraline's dark.
Callback to a little bit of the horror genre.
Yeah.
So... this is as close as you could get to what would be considered a children's horror or a family horror.
You could stay here forever, if you want to.
Really?
Sure, we'll sing and play games, and Mother will cook your favorite meals.
There's one tiny little thing we need to do. What's that?
Well, it's a surprise.
For you, our little doll. Black is traditional. But if you'd prefer pink, or vermilion, or chartreuse, though you might make me jealous.
No way! You're not sewing buttons in my eyes!
Oh, but we need a yes if you want to stay here.
So sharp you won't feel a thing.
Ow!
There now. It's your decision, darling. We only want what's best for you.
I'm going to bed. Right now!
Bed?
Before dinner?
I'm really, really tired, yeah. I just need to sleep on things.
Well, of course you do, darling. I'll be happy to tuck you in.
Oh, no thanks. You've done so much already.
You're welcome. And we aren't worried at all, darling. Soon you'll see things our way.
It is very dark. It's... not necessarily, well, it is scary. I mean, it has scary scenes in it.
It's
especially if you're a young child.
It's twisted. I mean, it's like dark. I mean,
the spider mother.
The whole thing is she's trying to capture you.
Right. She's trying to take you to her dimension.
Her net. Yeah. Sewing buttons and eyeballs.
Buttons into your eyes. So it has a lot of scary images. Yeah. It's just very inventive, and it's another stop motion film.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know if this was the first one that Lakia did, but it was early on.
Yeah.
They've only done about four or five feature films.
Yeah.
And I want to say this may have been the first one in 2009. But they've just made a name for themselves at really mastering the stop motion genre. I just saw recently they just released one called The Missing Link. I assume that's not going to be on your list, but it was also really, really good. And it was about Bigfoot and this guy, or Yeti, and he finds a Yeti and he's trying to get the reward for him. And Hugh Jackman's in it.
Really?
It was another really good, intricate stop motion film that they put out last year. But Coraline remains, I mean, I'm a Halloween guy, I'm a horror guy.
Yeah.
So I can't show my 5-year old, you know, quote unquote, horror movies.
Yeah.
But he's seen Coraline, he's seen another one I'm going to mention in a little bit. And it's kind of like, it's okay to show them that. Yeah. And it's like, you're kind of seeing a horror movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're kind of seeing like a fun horror movie.
And the music to Coraline is awesome.
The score is great.
It's very, I mean, it's Halloween-esque with that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, but it's more kid-friendly. It's almost like that with toys.
Ian McShane's in this one too, by the way.
La, 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 la,
exactly.
It's like that. It's
creepy.
But it's light, and it's almost like a lullaby, but a dark lullaby. And you're right, the story, Coraline and her family moving into this house, and her being bored and just wanting something to do, and her finding, you know, the hole to the other dimension, and this other mom, I'm your other mother, who wants to give her everything, whatever you want.
Yeah,
and
this
the cat who goes from dimension to dimension.
The cat's awesome. He can talk in the other dimension. Yeah. And
he's kind of like what we'd call the omniscient
character.
See everything.
Just the image of a black cat, first of all, it right away says Halloween to you. And it's a very creepy vibe.
Ooh, so good. That's an honorable mention for me, by the way. Coraline's on the honorable mention for me.
It has a positive ending.
Such a good movie.
But I just love it for the reason. I mean, it's like I said, it's a horror movie you can watch with your family. And you don't get a lot of those. You don't get a lot of those. Director was the same director of The Nightmare Before Christmas, Henry Selick.
Yes!
And you can kind of see the influences there and what types of films he likes to direct. Like you already said, the score is to die for.
Yeah.
Just very ominous, but kind of hopeful at the same time. Kind of like what's the thing with the horses? Like merry-go-round?
Yes.
Kind of like merry-go-round, like, but could be creepy if it's put in the wrong setting.
Yep.
So Coraline, I love it, man. From 2009, it is my number 3, which we're up to our runner-ups.
Coraline's another, like Shrek, Coraline's another one of those movies that could have very easily been in the top 5 for me.
Mm-hmm.
Very easily, because it's, I mean, I love Coraline.
Awesome, man.
My daughter, Libby, that's one of her favorite movies.
Awesome.
Coraline.
And how old is she?
She's 10 now.
Do you remember the first time she saw it? How old she
probably
was?
6 or 7.
Yeah, same thing with Logan. Yeah. Logan just saw it. He's 5. So,
yeah.
All right. So that's my number 3. So what's your number 2, buddy?
My number 2 is probably the animated movie I have watched the most in my life. I've been watching it my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I love the music. I love the story. It's a very, very simple story. The movie is called The Secret of Nim.
Okay.
A friend of mine that we both know, Michael, mentioned that as well. So I guess, you know, we're about the same age. We're not as old as you are. We're not decrepit yet. But it came out in our age. But it's about, the Nim is the National Institute of Mental Health. And it's about these rats and these mice that were experimented on. They were just ordinary street rats, but they were gathered and experimented on, and they became intelligent. So the rats and the mice developed a plan to break out of NIM and to start their own society. So they break out, and they break out by going through the ducts, the air ducts. All the mice except for 2 were sucked down and died. But this one mouse, so there's 2, Mr. Ages and then our hero's husband, was able to climb through the grate and save them all. So they developed the small society in a rose bush by a farmhouse, stealing electricity from the farm. And they had this great idea about a plan. Nicodemus is the old rat who's the wise old, you know, sage rat. And the plan is to move away and to create their own society without stealing from the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the young rats don't want to do this. Jenner's our evil guy. He wants to stay here and keep stealing. So it's about morality. And it's about Mrs. Frisbee, who's Jonathan Frisbee, the rat who died's wife, and her son Timmy's got pneumonia and the plow's coming, and she has to move Timmy to another house, and she gets involved. It's just a great story with the great Al and Dom DeLuise playing the crow.
Right, a lot of classics in there.
Have you seen it?
I have, but I haven't seen it since I was a kid, and
dude,
I'm not even kidding. I'm talking
love
about a
the
kid. Like, I haven't
love
seen it.
It
since I was like 10 or 12.
Love it.
But that's a good flick, and it did get some shout-outs online. I need to revisit it.
Yeah.
That's the old school classic hand-drawn animation we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And an adventure story. That's a good one.
Just, I mean, it's just a great movie. It's got a lot of morality into it, like what is stealing. There's this great scene at the end where Jonathan, well, actually, I don't know one of the leader of the rats is fighting Jenner. They've killed Nicodemus. And, you know, they're like, the hero rat's kind of pinned to the ground, and Jenner's walking toward him with the sword and says, I've learned one thing in my life. Take what you can when you can. There and then the hero looks up and says, then you've learned nothing.
Wow. Another Andy line.
Yeah.
I can see where your picks are coming from.
They're
coming from your
the
heart,
secret
brother.
Of Nim. I'm messing up the names here. I think Jonathan's the hero, and I don't know. But I'm messing up. That's good. You got to
we'll
go
figure,
watch it.
We'll figure it
secret
out.
Secret of Nim. Check
all right.
It out.
Good pick, man.
Nicodemus right. is the old sage. Nicodemus. There's no, but I want to name my kid Nicodemus.
Hey,
thank
why
you
not?
Let me.
And people will call him Nick, though.
Nick.
Yeah.
Or Nicky. Or Nick. Nico. Or Nicody.
Our so many options. So many options.
Nick, yeah, so Secret of Nim is my number two.
It's your number two. All right, so my runner-up is another stop motion, and it is from one of my favorite filmmakers, probably my top five filmmakers, if we ever do that list, is Tim Burton.
Oh.
And it's from 2005. It's The Corpse Bride.
The Corpse Bride.
Is my number two. Have you ever seen this?
Ooh, I thought you were going in a different direction.
No, I decided to leave it off because I've mentioned it so many times. But I know
see,
which one
the
you're talking about.
See, the thing you left off is the only left off because it's very, very holiday for me. Mm-hmm. But The Corpse Bride's good, man.
Corpse Bride is another dark. Oh, yeah. This one would be, I mean, it's not as quote-unquote scary as Coraline, but it's a very grim, dark tale. And it is just like a kind of a horror romance, which is weird. And it's
a horror romance.
Right,
yeah.
And it's cool because... And really, you don't, I mean, Dracula was, but we don't get that a lot. You don't get a romantic horror movie very often.
You don't.
But it was cool, too, because it basically created a love triangle between Victor, who, by the way, is voiced by Johnny Depp. I know he's kind of fallen off, like, morality or whatever you want to say. But, I mean, as an actor, him and Tim Burton is just a gold collaboration.
Well, because he's very dark and quirky.
Right.
You know, he's just a very quirky guy, and he can do... all these different characters, like Edward Scissorhands, and he can do, like, you know, the Demon Barber, and he can do all these characters. He just does them perfectly, and you believe it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So him and Tim Burton's collaboration over the years, I've just loved, man. I mean, you mentioned Edward Scissorhands, Ed Wood, you know, obviously in Corpse Bride, we're talking about Sweeney Todd. I mean, he's done so many roles with Tim Burton that just fit him perfectly. And Corpse Bride is one of those. Of course, this is a voice performance because it's an animated film. But he's very subtle, very subdued, very quiet.
He talks like this.
Very shy.
Yes, very
you
shy.
Know.
Well, he's in love with a girl, but he doesn't know how to ask the girl. And of course, his parents don't approve. And you know, the girl's parents are in financial ruin. And they think by marrying it's going to be okay. But he gets nervous. So he's practicing... you know, his vows out in the woods, and he ends up putting the ring on a corpse.
Right. And she
and marrying
raises
the corpse.
Her from the dead, and they're married.
Yeah.
So it creates a love triangle where he's literally married
to a
dead woman, and then his love interest is Victoria.
And he's taken down to the land of the dead.
Right.
And they have to figure out how to dissolve
musical
the marriage.
Numbers.
But you also figure out that... the villain is the one who killed the corpse bride and is also out to get the other one.
Exactly.
So he kills the bride and takes the money.
Get it, boys.
Hey! Give me a listen. You corpses of cheer. Beastles of you who still got an ear. I'll tell you a story and make a skeleton cry. Of our own jubiliciously lovely corpse bride.
Die, die, we outcast me. Outwear a frown, cause it's really okay. You might dress high, and you might dress gray. But we all end up the remains of the day.
That's right! Well, our girl was a beauty known for miles around. When a mysterious stranger came into town. He was plenty good looking, but down on his cash. And our poor little baby, she fell hard and fast when her daddy said no. She just couldn't cope, so our lovers came up with a plan to elope.
Die, die, we all pass away. But don't go around, cause it's really okay. You might try and hide, and you might try and pray. But we all end up so the names of the day.
So you... there's also this kind of treachery involved.
You know, I put Coraline on here. I put Corpse Bride on here. I stayed away from Nightmare Before Christmas. Which
that's an honorable mention for me. That's a beautiful movie.
People know I love that movie. We can talk about it in honorable mentions. Yeah. I put it on so many lists that we do, even shows I'm not on with you, but other people.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to kind of give notoriety to some other films.
Yeah.
But Corpse Bride, I've never mentioned on the show before, I don't think.
It's a great.
And it's just a dark romance. It's a romantical story, and it's a very subdued Johnny Depp performance. You know, it's almost like he's whispering throughout it.
But he does a perfect job.
Even though all this crazy stuff's going on
around him. For that character, because he's this nervous, quaint little guy.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, it's good music, good production. I mean, it's just a great movie.
It is
absolutely right.
Awesome film.
Absolutely right.
Awesome film. Danny Elfman, another score that he did, which was just very, kind of very dark and very romantical, and romanticized for the period. Because it's a period piece as well. It takes place in old England. So I love it, man. Corpse Bride's my runner-up. Yes. And guess what, dude?
Number one!
We're up to our number ones. And I honestly, I'm going to let you go first. But I honestly can't believe what I named number one. And I just, it's the best. It might be the best animated film.
Of all time.
It might be.
Oh, my gosh.
If we're talking about from a technical standpoint.
I'm nervous.
Maybe not so much plot, but from a technical standpoint. But go ahead. What's your number one?
Now, my number one, I'm so sorry. I sound so redundant and like a broken record. But these two filmmakers, these two guys, they have my number. Everything they do is genius. It makes me laugh. Like, this movie makes me laugh out loud from beginning to end every time I watch it. The story is wonderful. It has a deep message embedded within it that just screams at you. The score is just great. South Park, the movie.
Oh, you're going South Park.
Now, check it out. I fell in love with South Park early on. Their episodes are great. It's just, I mean, it's laugh out loud humor. A lot of people think it's extreme, but being extreme is part of the whole point. Challenging what is sacred. You can laugh at anything, and by laughing at it, you expose the underlying truth in it. Mm-hmm. South Park, the movie, after three or four seasons, they said, okay, let's take it to the extreme. And they made this wonderful movie. It's a musical.
Yeah.
From the first opening line, it's a musical.
Right.
Has great songs like Blame Canada and right. You know, the psychiatrist or the school counselor trying to get the kids not to say the F word so much, but you know, just say okay. So there's a whole song about that, and I mean, it's just,
it's great music. It's funny.
It's just wonderful. And here's the thing about it is, it's about dirty words. So okay, the kids sneak into an R-rated film and they learn the F word, and they just, I mean, they just can't stop. They just fall in love with this naughty language. And of course, the mom thinks it's Canada's fault because Canadians have filthy mouths and they made the movie. Terrence and Philip made the movie.
Right.
So they go on war with Canada. Because in her own words, gratuitous violence is okay as long as you don't say any dirty words.
We must stop dirty language from getting to our children's ears. We must go fight the source of it. But what is the source?
Oh, that's easy.
Times have changed. Our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents. They just want to fight and curse.
Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
For their beady little eyes and flapping heads so full of lies.
Blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
We need to form a full assault.
It's an assault.
Don't blame me for my son Stan. He saw the darn cartoon and now he's off to join the Klan. And my boy Eric once had my picture on his shelf. But now when I see him, he tells me to fuck myself.
Well, blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
It seems that everything's gone wrong since Canada came along.
Blame Canada.
They're not even a real country anyway.
So the whole point of the movie is how...
It's a social message.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, and Satan's in it, and of course, Saddam Hussein's in it.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's just... South Park the movie. It's revolutionary.
I know you love I know you love Parker and Stone.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Genius.
This was great because it was like South Park.
Comical genius.
It was like South Park that we loved, but it was stuff they couldn't do on Comedy Central. And they put it on the big screen and they took it to the next level and I cranked it up to 11.
I remember when the kids are in the theater and they say the F word for the first time and you see their mouth just drop and they're like, oh, what did he say? And it's not just the F bomb, it's all these words. Like, and they're just like, I mean, I'm gonna take it there. Like when Cartman hears it, he goes, well, he goes, shit face cockmaster. They're just in love with this language. It's like,
it's like they're just looking at a train wreck.
And Cartman gets a V-chip put in that every time he curses, he gets shocked. And he can't. Sorry, I'm late, guys, but my behind is killing me. You're what? I have to say behind if I say ass. It's hilarious. I'm sorry.
It's breaking up. No, it's great.
It's hilarious. South Park the movie. I mean, It's try to find a more funny animated film. Try and you
it's,
won't.
It's bringing up great memories, man. And I did watch a lot of the South Park program in college, too.
Yeah.
You already know I was kind of hitting the bong back then. So I was putting that into my eyeballs. But yeah. It was great because it cranked it up to 11, man. It was a lot of stuff they couldn't do on TV.
I know it's too extreme and naughty for some people, but if you can get past that, just listen to the score, listen to the music, the way they put that together. And of course, same thing with the Book of Mormon, especially Trey Parker. I mean, he's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Stone as well. They're geniuses.
And what people.
A comic duo that they're just hilarious.
And what people don't realize is what Parker and Stone are doing with South Park in general, of course, in the movie too, is it's they're talking about what's happening in our lives today and in the news and whatever. It's a social commentary told through comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's weekly. They make one a week.
And comedy heals people.
It does.
You know? So what are you going to do?
When you laugh at something, you expose it. Mm-hmm. When you laugh at something, you stop taking it so seriously so that you can look at it objectively and then take it seriously. So right, that's my number one. Okay.
So I love it. Maybe. All right. So that's your number one. South Park, bigger, longer, and uncut.
Yeah.
Which
and
it
that's
was.
That's what it is. It's bigger, it's longer, and it's uncut.
All right. So my number one is the most recent film on my list, and it's only about 6 months old.
Really?
And it is a new film that I want to say we discussed this when did our superhero films.
Okay. Superhero. Oh.
All right.
Why did I leave that off? I didn't even think about that.
So my number one. Well,
I'm putting it on my honorable mention.
Is this what you're talking about? My number one is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So you saw it?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think you had seen it when we did Superhero.
I saw it with my family recently and we all loved it.
So it is just a master class in animation, but not only that, in a new way.
It's a comic book come to life.
It is a comic book on the big screen brought to life. And it's very, very reminiscent for me as a movie viewer of what I felt when I saw the first Toy Story in the theater. You just hadn't seen anything like
it. Nothing like it.
And I mean, I don't know how else. I almost am at a loss for words at how it won the Academy Award, which thank God it did.
Yeah.
Because it's groundbreaking for best animation last year. I just am at a loss for words for what that film has done for animation going forward, because it's a hand drawn animation.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Mixed with digital. It's both.
They
it's
put
it's
yeah.
both. And it's literally, that's the best way to put it, a comic book come to life.
Yeah. Well, it's not only that, it honors comic books because it's very obvious. It tells his story and the story of many, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, the story because it's still pretty new, the story for many Spider-Mans across many universes, and it tells it in a comic book style. If you notice, even when our hero, Miles, when he gets his powers, he starts thinking and seeing in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a comic book movie that celebrates comic books and illustrates it in a way like that just throws it to, I mean, it just throws it on the screen, and each new dimension has its own style.
Mm-hmm.
There's the film noir. There's the funny Porky Pig.
Nicolas Cage. There's the film noir.
So each one has its own style, and when it comes together, all the styles come together.
Right. It's funny, man. Yeah. It's
great.
It's funny. You know, Spider-Gwen's awesome. You mentioned Spider-Noir, which is Nicolas Cage.
He's my favorite.
It's freaking hilarious. Just so serious and dark, you know.
Is your talent staring into the blankness of life with nothing on your own?
Yeah, he does shit like that throughout the movie. You know?
My name is Peter Parker. In my universe, it's 1933, and I'm a private eye. I like to drink egg creams, and I like to fight Nazis. A lot. Sometimes I let matches burn down to my fingertips just to feel something, anything. Oh.
And they have the really cool.
Life has no meaning.
They have the really cool spider like basement in Aunt May's where you see all the different suits, which are actually from the comics.
Okay.
And like what you said, it'll put the like meanwhile, you know, on the screen
that
you would see in a comic book.
Yes, exactly.
And it's like you're flipping through the pages of this comic. And it's, you know, there were some, I mean, you could nitpick a little bit with some of the stuff about the portal and like whatever, but I mean.
I don't nitpick.
Yeah,
I accept.
But I
accept.
Mean, if you
suspension
just.
Suspension of disbelief. When I'm in a movie, I accept it.
If you just look at it for the entertainment of the two hours that it is. I
mean,
my
done.
Son.
Your son liked
and
it.
And we saw it in the theater when it came out with my wife and my sister-in-law as well. And my son, who's five, the message in this movie is amazing too.
Yeah.
It's by the way, Stan Lee has the amazing cameo in it.
Yeah, tell us that message.
You know,
tell us that message, brother.
Anybody can be a hero. Yeah. Anybody can be Spider-Man. Anybody can wear the mask. I want to say they say that a few times throughout the movie. And when this movie's over, and this is no joke, dude. So we watch the film. My son sits through it. He doesn't, you know, pitch a fit or anything. He just watches the whole thing. He's mesmerized the whole time. The credits are rolling, and my son looks over to me and he says, "Dad, you know, when we get home, I want to get my Spider-Man stuff out. I can be Spider-Man. I can do it. You know." And it spoke to him in that way.
Not only that, was the message goes beyond because it says anybody can be a Spider-Man.
Right.
But to be a Spider-Man, you have to be you.
Right.
You got to find, because that's when Peter Parker's kind of teaching Miles. He goes, dude, you got to find your way of being Spider-Man. Because the whole time Miles, I'm spoiling, I'm sorry. The whole time Miles, our hero, is trying to find out how to be a Spider-Man like his hero, like Peter Parker.
Right.
But he, in the end, it's a leap of faith.
Right.
Dude, you got to do you.
Right.
If you want to be a hero, be you. That's the hero.
Exactly. Woo! And it ends up coming to fruition. So just to see that through my son's eyes, man. And that it affected him at that young age.
I can be Spider-Man.
And then I'm an adult and I really enjoyed it.
You can be Spider-Man.
Well, I don't know about that.
Anybody can be Spider-Man. But Gerald.
I could be the pig one, maybe. Yeah. You can maybe do that one. All right. So that's it. So Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, dude, from 2018.
That's wonderful.
It's my number one. Excellent. All right. So we're going to head over to social media in a moment. But before we do that, why don't we give some honorable mentions? Thanks. You want me to go first?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Well, all right, so I'll give you my 6 through 10. All right, so my number 6 would have been Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Okay, never seen
a
that.
Great one. Animated film. I want to say it's currently on Netflix. Your boy,
Mark Hamill.
As Joker. Portrays the Joker. Yeah. Some people actually say it's the best portrayal of the Joker. I don't agree with that, obviously. Yeah. I love Nicholson. I love Ledger, but he does an awesome, like, kind of sinister voice casting in that. But it's a very, very good Batman movie. It's probably, I didn't make this list, but I would say probably 3rd or 4th. As far as my favorite Batman movies.
Really? Okay, I got to check it out.
Really good. Mask of the Phantasm. Number 7 would have been a movie called, which is also DreamWorks, called Monsters vs. Aliens.
You ever see that? Yeah, that's cool.
Another little kind of throwback to my horror affinity. Yeah. But, I mean, it's literally monsters versus aliens to take over the
You're
world.
You're a dark dude, bro.
My number 8 would have been Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
I forgot about that movie. Don't tase me, bro. Dude, that movie is wonderful.
Love that movie.
I can't believe we got to talk beforehand. I totally forgot.
I know, right?
I stumbled upon it with my kids, and I was like, dude, this is
It's a
wonderful.
Great movie, man, and it's underseen.
Yeah.
Look it up, guys.
Mr. Peabody is my
Peabody
hero.
And Sherman.
He knows and can do everything.
Mr. Peabody is a dog who is a genius. A high-level genius.
Not like genius
and,
genius.
You know, like a Will Hunting, like genius. And he adopts this human boy as a baby and raises him.
And builds a way
and
back.
And he has a thing called a way back, which is a time machine.
And he takes his boy on these adventures through time.
So this movie, Peabody and Sherman, ends up being a really cool history lesson for young kids.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it's also a father-son story.
And also, about the son who he gets thrown into school, basically, now because now it's time to go to school. And he gets made fun of because he has a dog as a father.
He gets bullied, right?
So it's also about him coming to accept, dude, this is my family.
Right.
And if my father's a dog, then maybe I am a dog.
Exactly.
You know, because I'd rather be a dog and his son than anything else.
Right.
Ooh,
yeah. No, it's like
Terry.
All right. My number nine, I thought was just really cool for the novelty factor and that they were able. I mean, it's still a franchise that's going to go on for just decades. But the Lego movie, the original.
Oh,
love the Lego movie.
Too.
There are so many good ones. But
that's good, too.
I went with the original.
I want to revamp my whole list.
And then my number 10, which is a film that's also underseen, in my opinion, and also stars the voice of Johnny Depp, which I just realized, is a movie called Rango. You ever see Rango?
I never saw Rango, but the lizard.
The little chameleon lizard or whatever. And it's like
is he a
karma
chameleon?
It's a western.
What?
It's really cool. It's a western that appeals to kids. No 5 or 6 year old is going to want to watch a western, but if they watch Rango, they're watching a western.
Now, is it just like lizards and animals and such, or is it like people too?
I mean, his owners are in it for a brief time, and that's how he gets lost from the car that he's
in.
They're going on vacation or whatever, and they lose the cage that he was in. So the humans are in it for a brief time, and again at the end,
so he gets thrown into the Wild West.
Yes. Yeah, and there's a lot of various types of animals.
I got to check that out.
They have like, you know, what would look like old school saloons and crap set up, you know, but you know, it's really just the desert or whatever. Rango. Oh, check out Rango. I want to say it's about 10 years old or so.
Wonderful.
All right, what's your honorable mentions, man?
Dude, Shrek is obviously an honorable mention for me. It's just a great movie. Coraline, love Coraline. I like dark movies as well, but Coraline's really good as well. It's got, I mean, just a great feel to it. I love all the things those creators do. Mr. Peabody and Sherman and the Lego movie, I got to throw that on mine because it's wonderful. Two movies I didn't put on here just because, for me, they are tied to holiday. One is The Nightmare Before Christmas. Nightmare Before Christmas, hands down, one of the best holiday movies of all time. And it's cool because it can be Halloween or Christmas.
I love it. Yeah.
Love the music. Love the characters. Tim Burton at his best. Another one. Now, people are raging about Coco. Coco dis and Coco dat.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you need to check out a movie called The Book of Life. That came out a year before Coco.
You mentioned that.
And that knocks the Day of the Dead out the water, son.
I want to say you mentioned that.
The Book of Life is an amazing movie. I wish I could think of the guy who created it is a pretty famous guy, but I can't think of his name. But The Book of Life.
I remember you mentioned that before because I thought it was The Book of Eli with Denzel Washington.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And you're like, no, that's not it.
But the Book of Life is, I mean, the way, I can almost say cubed. The way the characters are designed is digital, but they're cubed, like their faces. It almost looks like cube characters.
Okay.
Has a very, very, like you said, what you like the most about these movies, has a very distinct style to it that's unmatched. And it's a great movie about the Day of the Dead, what it means.
Okay. Did you like Coco, though?
No, I loved Coco.
Okay, all right.
I loved Coco.
Because I love Coco, too.
I didn't want to love Coco.
But it was good.
Because I'd seen The Book of Life. I'm like, dude, you can't read it about the Book of
Life. That's what we were talking about earlier. I'm not trying to be funny, but that's what we were talking about earlier. Disney just could take over everything.
Yes.
Take over the Day of the Dead now.
Check out The Book of Life. The only reason Nightmare Before Christmas, Book of Life aren't on there because I put them to the side for holiday because I watched those at Halloween.
That's cool. So that's our honorable mentions, guys, and that was our top five non-Disney animated films.
Yeah.
I think we had a good one. No crossover.
No crossovers.
You didn't even do Shrek. I thought you were going to put Shrek on there.
Well, there's so many.
I know there are.
I mean, and as you're talking to me, I'm just thinking of more and more and more.
All right, so let's open up the suggestion box. You want to do that? What's in the box? All right, what is in the box? Let's go over here. I tell you what, we'll go to Twitter first, because I don't think you're on Twitter, so maybe you didn't see some of these. Our buddies at the Countdown over in Australia, they got, I think this might be the only other mention other than me, Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse. And then they also said the How to Train Your Dragon series.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And the Iron Giant.
Okay.
Iron Giant's a good one.
I've never seen the Iron Giant. I have a good friend named Brian, who his favorite
movie. That's a
good one.
That's a tearjerker. I know we're going to be talking about that next time, but that's a tearjerker. Let's see. Half-Wit History. Over on Twitter.
Okay.
I love some of these, reading some of these because of the handles. They said Grave of the Fireflies, which I don't know.
Okay.
Akira, Coraline,
Akira is a movie I want to see.
Japan animation, right?
I want to see Akira, but I've heard good things. I want to see that.
Coraline, The Little Prince, The Iron Giant, and Anastasia.
Yeah. The Little Prince is another one I want to watch as well. That was on Netflix for a while.
So listen to this. So Matt Lewinsky, who comments almost every week, he's an avid listener. Love that guy.
Love Matt.
So, he's got his top five here, and four of them are Batman movies, but here we go. So he's got Batman versus Two-Face, Batman Return of the Caped Crusader, Batman Mask of the Phantasm, which is the one I named, and then his number one would have been Transformers from 1983.
I forgot about Transformers, Matt!
And a little asterisk, he said, that is the saddest movie death, period. I think he's talking about Prime there.
Prime.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only that, but Orson Welles, little known fact, Leonard Nimoy plays Megatron when he turns into Galvatron, and Orson Welles plays the voice of Unicron. I have summoned you here, Megatron. No one summons Megatron. Then it pleases me to be the first.
I didn't know that.
All right, Transformers is a great. You got the fire.
That's a good pick.
You got the fire.
I haven't seen that in so long.
Why didn't I name that? I'm so sorry, Matt.
Mike Marlowe over on Twitter said another shout out for Batman Mask of the Phantasm. You got to check that one out. Real Reviews on Twitter said, here you go. I'm going to save this for the end because I think you're going to freak out.
Okay.
So they said Coraline, The Iron Giant, Kubo and the Two Strings.
Love it.
The Fantastic Mr. Fox, which we didn't mention any Wes Anderson flicks, but he does some good stop motion stuff. He did that when he did Isle of Dogs last year. And then they said The Book of Life.
The Book of Life.
There you go. Somebody else is on with you, brother.
It's a great
movie. Coco mentioned. Well, we're doing non-Disney.
No Coco.
Level One Geek on Twitter said Megamind and Monsters vs. Aliens.
Megamind was the Jim Carrey.
Brad Pitt.
And Jim Carrey, right?
Was Jim Carrey the villain in that?
Megamind was, yeah.
You might be right.
Yeah, he was the villain.
But I know Brad Pitt was like the hero in that.
I never saw that Megamind.
It was hilarious. Let's see. So this is their Twitter handle. Oh my damn, the Cats movie looks creepy. That's their Twitter handle.
Okay.
Over on Twitter said Puss in Boots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Princess Mononoke. I don't know that one. Street Fighter 2, which is an animated film, and Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, people like your Phantasm.
Let's see. What else
can I... You can't get enough of your Phantasm.
Let's see what I chat on. We haven't done any of these yet. Wilson Gill on Twitter said Heavy Metal, Titan AE, Wizards, Rock and Rule, and Mask of the Phantasm.
Nice.
And then the last one on Twitter that I'll mention is the Pop Culture Time Capsule. And they said the entire How to Train Your Dragon series, The Iron Giant, Corpse Bride, and then they mentioned Cool World. But Cool World was the one that was like a Roger Rabbit kind of deal.
That was both. So right. I think that's got animation in it, so I'd accept that.
Sure.
Okay. Remember Who Framed Roger Rabbit? That was, man.
Yeah, that was revolutionary.
Yeah.
All right, and then just
that broke
the last,
the seal, son.
There's the last few on Facebook. Our buddy Michael Hill said Anastasia will not count because Disney kind of purchased that one recently.
Disney!
In the Fox deal, but I said, send me some more suggestions. So here's what he sent. He said, Secret of Nim.
Oh, Secret of Nim.
An American Tale.
Oh, American Tale.
Another
Fievel.
Another great one. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Okay, that's a good one, too.
Rise of the Guardians and How to Train Your Dragon.
I've never seen Rise of the Guardians. I want to see that.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I know that that's a good... I've heard great things about that one. Tony Vandenbush.
Vandenbush.
On Facebook, a new fan to the page over there. Thank you so much, Tony. She says, The Iron Giant, Despicable Me.
Despicable Me. Yeah.
That's a good... And Hotel Transylvania, which I love.
Hotel Transylvania was good.
Another, like...
There's three of them now.
Another kind of horror aspect to it. Yeah. Adam Sandler's in there. I like Hotel Transylvania. The third one was a piece of shit, but it was fun to watch.
Okay.
But I like that series. And let's see. Amanda, who's been on the show almost as many times as you. she's guessed it quite a bit. She's got some good ones in here, man, that you'll like. She says, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Song of the Sea.
Hey, Song of the Sea. Other people watch that.
Yeah, I know. Kubo and the Two Strings.
Nice.
Rango, which I mentioned. Okay. And Your Name. I don't know your name. Do you know that one?
Andy.
Your name is Andy, right? And then the last one I'll mention, good buddy of mine in real life, is the best man at my wedding, Godfrey. He said Transformers the movie.
Oh, man.
Just the only mention he put out there.
I can't believe I did. You got the touch. You got the fire.
That is a good one, man. So that,
Transformers.
Thank you, everyone.
Roll out.
Thank you, everyone, for the feedback. As always, we really, really appreciate
Rodimus
it.
Prime.
That was episode 85, man. 85, that was our top five non-Disney animated films. Man. I want you to, well, before you do it, what are we doing next time? Do you remember?
Next time, I think we're going to do the top five movies that brought you to tears, or tear jerker movies, which is hard because I'm going to say it right now.
Every
movie makes me cry. I cried in Transformers. Like half the movies on my list, I cried during.
I was going to say, we just recorded that.
Yeah. Just,
Did you cry during Kung Fu Panda? Actually,
probably.
Maybe, actually. Yeah. All right, so why don't you give your final thought, man, for our non-Disney animated episode,
dude,
buddy?
Man,
what do you got?
You can be Spider-Man, but here's how you be Spider-Man. Here's how you be a hero. You just be you. You are the only you that ever was or ever will be. So by being you, you are giving that gift to the world and becoming a hero to somebody. So you know what? Be Spider-Man by being you.
I love it, man.
Except for Jerry.
Yeah, don't be me. Whatever you do, don't be Gerald. All right, that's it, guys, for episode 85. Andy, we'll be back soon. We'll be crying together.
Dude.
Tear jerkers. Thank you to everyone tuning in. All of our information is in the show notes, including our Patreon info. Please check it out. Andy, until next time, brother. You know I love you.
I love
you. I'll see you soon.
Well.
We'll jerk some tears, brother.
Oh, okay.
Stand by. All right.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.